Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I want to talk to you about how God is the Father of mercies, that as you come to God, you can experience mercy. Jesus told many stories, as you know, and in the Gospel of Luke, he told probably his most famous story. We all know it. It's the story of the prodigal son. What the father said to his son was, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat and make merry, for this son of mine was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. And they began to make merry. The Gospel of the Lord, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That is such a great theme in the Gospel of Luke, that of celebration and joy and merriment. Remember, the lost sheep was found, and there was great joy in heaven. The lost coin was found, and there was great joy in heaven. And now the son was found. He was now alive again, and they began to make merry. I remember I was at a meeting, and there were many people there, and I sat down to a man next to me there, and I just said, hi, I'm Father Cedric. He goes, I know who you are. He said, 20 years ago, I went to one of your parish missions, and I went to you to confession. And he said, that confession was so significant and so life-changing for me, I'm never the same. And I was so happy to hear that from that man, that 20 years later, there he was, still celebrating the effects of that confession. You see, confession, coming to God, can be life-changing. It can bring you to new life. We are celebrating in the Catholic Church during the year 2016, a year of mercy, where the doors of the confessional, the doors of the church are wide open to anyone and everyone who wants to come. And whether you're Catholic or not, I pray that you will celebrate God's mercy. And for those of you who are Catholic, that you will come to confession and celebrate the grace that can be yours in the confessional. Did you notice in that story of the prodigal son that the father gave him a robe and a ring for his finger, shoes for his feet, killed the fatted calf? In other words, what that means is they're all symbols for the lavish mercy of God and how his love can change us. For me, I remember years ago receiving the Holy Spirit, God's mercy, this robe of righteousness, and how my life changed. And I believe that God wants to continue to lavish his mercy upon you. He is rich in mercy. And the Bible says he's the Father of mercies. And we need mercies because we sin over and over and over again. We don't just need mercy one time. We need it over and over again. That's why when we go to Mass, for example, at the beginning of Mass, those of you who are Catholic, we always pray the Kyrie. And that's, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Even though you go to Mass every day, you pray it over and over again during the course of the Mass, day after day after day. Why? Because we need mercy all the time because we're always sinning. We always transgress. Even the best of us fail. And God's mercies, the Book of Lamentations tells us, God's mercies are new every day. And they're new every day because we need them every day. Day after day after day, we need fresh mercies. Now, it's interesting. The beginning of the story, we hear how the son, and he was a son, he was a child of the father, and so are we, he squandered his inheritance on loose living. He gave up what the father had given him for his own selfishness. Now, we may not be into something as dramatic as squandering our whole inheritance, but it's interesting, day after day, when we live with gossip, when we live with anger, non-forgiveness, lust, fear, all these different areas in our life, we squander our inheritance. I heard about this story. It's interesting. You know, if you take a frog and you put the frog into boiling water, that frog will hop right out as soon as you put him in. But if you put that frog into lukewarm water, the frog will sit in there, and if you gradually turn the water up and get it to the point of boiling, that frog will stay in that water and die. And it's similar with us. We can be lukewarm, and then the devil kind of turns up the heat. We get another sin and a different type of thing, like gossip or anger or bitterness or non-forgiveness or fear or lust or this or that or envy or gluttony or whatever it is. And the water starts to come to a boil and it can kill us. So we have to be careful in our life about the sins that mount up. That's why we need a Father of mercies. A Father who gives us mercy, and His mercy is new every day. A Father who is rich in mercy. So anyway, the son squandered his inheritance, and we squander our inheritance every time we sin. And when we live in lukewarmness, and that's why it says in the Bible, you know, I'd rather have you hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. It doesn't have to be a big dramatic sin that we're into. It can be a conglomeration of a lot of lukewarm stuff that can kill us, that can bring us to the boiling point, that can separate us from God. But thanks be to God, God is rich in mercy, and the door is wide open for you and me to come. Well, the son squanders his inheritance, and what happens is he had a bottoming out experience. He was slopping with the pigs in the mud. He ran out of money. And he got hungry. And the scripture says that he came to his senses. Well, that's interesting. You know, the AA program, for example, Alcoholics Anonymous, they have something called a bottoming out experience, where it could be a blackout, an accident, you could kill someone, you could wake up and not knowing where you're at. And all of a sudden you realize you have a bottoming out experience, you realize that your life has to change. And that's one of the benefits of having a bottoming out experience. I remember in my own life, I bottomed out when I was in college. I was dating a woman. We broke up. And after we broke up, I had a tremendous hurt deep inside, felt lonely, felt guilty, felt far from God. And that pain, that inner hurt, that bottoming out, helped me to come to my senses. That's exactly what happened with this young man. He was slopping with the pigs in the mud. He was hungry, far from home, away from his father, and he bottomed out. You know, I've studied conversion for so long. I've written a book on change, You Can Change, and studied the whole dynamics of conversion. And I've come to understand that with conversion, there needs to be some type of a jolt. There needs to be some type of a push or a move, some type of an experience that makes you uncomfortable so that you move forward. See, when you're comfortable, nothing's going to change. If life is just going on and you're pretty much okay and nothing much seems to be happening and you're not really all that uncomfortable, you're not going to change. But when something happens, when there's a bottoming out, where there's an emptiness, where there's a pain, an uncomfortableness, hopefully that will move you. See, with a conversion, you need to be moved. You need to change. I'm praying that this television program will be the jolt that you need, will be the persuasion that you need. It will push you and coax you into a deeper relationship with God. That can happen. You just need to be open to God's grace. So, as I said, one of the classical elements of a conversion experience is that there's a discomfort of some sort and that you move. I don't know if you've ever heard the story about the eagle. Well, the young eagle will be in the nest, and it loves it in the nest. After all, the mother's taking care of it, it's safe, it's secure, it's warm and everything. But then comes the time that it needs to leave the nest, but it doesn't want to leave. Why should it leave? It's comfortable. Well, what the mother does, she stirs up the nest. And when she stirs up the nest, the twigs start pointing up, the thorns start pointing up, and all of a sudden it's not so comfortable in the nest anymore. So the mother, when she stirs up the nest, she makes it uncomfortable and it makes the little eaglet want to get out. And in the same way, we get stirred up. I believe that even in our bottoming out, even in the hard times of life, even in the difficulties, the emptiness, the brokenness, the bottoming out, that's God stirring up the nest so that we will come to our senses like this young man and change. Are you going through a difficult time right now in your life? I believe that that's grace mixing with your experience to help you to get out and get moving and to provide that jolt that you need to change. And so that's what happened in this young man's life. And that's what happens in so many people's different lives. As I said, I've studied conversion, and it's something that's really, it's really needed. I got an email from a viewer, and she said that, "Father Cedric, I just have to tell you that I was going through such a hard time. I went through a divorce, and I was going through a very difficult time, and it was the moment of grace for me that I needed to start a whole new career in law and to go the way that God wanted me to go." And it's very interesting. That divorce for that woman was a catalyst for change. And sometimes it can be a divorce, a breakup, a child leaving the faith, a physical problem, emptiness inside, a deep sin, a bottoming out, all kinds of different areas that can actually be something good that will happen in your life. God will use it for good to raise you up. So if you're going through something right now, you know, don't just look on it on the surface. Look at it a little bit deeper. I remember, for example, I had a knee operation. It was very hard for me. I was running and golfing and doing all these athletic things. I ended up having to have a partial right knee replacement. Well, I've always been slim all my life, you know, and I always work out and do different things. Well, after the operation, I wasn't able to participate in the activities that I had been doing, and I gained weight. Really, for the first time in my life, I gained weight, and I would never weigh myself because I always thought, you know, I'm okay, and I would just keep eating and everything, and, well, I'm okay, I look at my body, it looks fine and everything. I finally took the initiative to go on to a scale, and I was shocked. I had gained 20 pounds. Never happened before. And you know that moment when I looked down at the scale and I saw those figures on the scale, that was a wake-up call to me to change. It was, call it a bottoming out experience, but what it did is it jolted me. I said, I gotta make a move here because I'm not gonna go over 200 pounds. And what I did is I continued to work out, I ate less, I got into an exercise regime. I'm back down to my normal weight now. It took some time, but what I'm trying to say is it's the discomfort that can lead to change. And that's exactly what was happening in this young man's life. He had a discomfort, a bottoming out experience. He had an emptiness, a brokenness, slopping with the pigs in the mud, and it was that that caused him to make a move. And I believe that you're being invited to make a move to God's mercy today. You know, deep within us, we all have hope. We all have hope of a better day. No matter how bad it gets, never lose your hope that it can get better. There's a longing for something better. That's exactly what happened in this young man's life. Even though he had bottomed out, he was far from God, he had separated himself from his family, far from his father, he believed that there was a better day. He longed for a better day. He believed that there was a plan for his life. And that's exactly what I want to tell you. Think about that woman that got the divorce. She ended up going toward a law career, even when that wasn't even in her mind, all through that broken. See, God had a plan for her life. And God has a plan for your life. And sometimes we can mess up God's destiny for us, God's plan A. For example, the young man, his father's plan A for him was to be part of the family and stay in the family and have a good life. Well, he took his inheritance, squandered it, and messed up the plan A. But there was a plan B for him. He came back, his father embraced him, celebrated him, he was part of the family again. There's a plan B for you. And more than a plan B, a plan C, in D, in E, in F. I'm on plan D, I'm on plan T right now. I mean, over and over and over again, God has a plan for your life. And if you mess up plan B, there's a plan C. No matter how many times you mess up, He's the Father of mercies, plural. There's always mercy for you, no matter what you've done or no matter how you've failed in the past. I love what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not your woe. God has a good plan for your life. So cling to hope. No matter what it seems like right now, it's not over with yet. There's new days ahead. God's mercy is ever new. He'll help you through this and bring you to a better day. So the young man hoped, and eventually he made a move, and it was never too late. It wasn't too late for him, and it's not too late for you. He made a move, and he said, I'm going to come back to my father. And as you know, there's going to be a great celebration. God in the Bible is called, get this, the Father of Mercies. We are celebrating in the Catholic Church in the year 2016, and even if it's not 2016, it's still applicable to you. But it's a special Jubilee year in the Catholic Church, the Jubilee of God's Mercy, where the doors of the church are wide open to all people, to especially wicked sinners, to all people, to lukewarm, to those who have fallen away, to all people. We are celebrating the mercy of God. You see, God is our Father. He's your Father, Jesus said, and my Father. He's your God and my God. And during this Jubilee Year of Mercy, and whatever year it is, because God is the Father of all mercy, God is your Father. You know, I thank God that I had a good father growing up. And my dad told me something that I never forgot one time. He looked me in the eyes and he said, Cedric, I want you to know that you can always trust me. You know, he was 100% right. My dad never betrayed me, never hurt me, never squandered his ability as my dad. He always had a lot of integrity, a lot of dignity, and always treated me with respect. He never gave me a reason not to trust him. And I trusted my dad. And we had an unshakable bond, an intimate relationship. And that's what I want you to know about your father in heaven. You can always trust him. Even though things don't seem to be going right, you can trust him, rely upon him, lean upon him, and he's going to bring you through. And even though this young man was suffering and he bottomed out and he had sinned greatly against his father, he thought to himself, I'm going to go back to my father because I can trust him. And that's what I want for you. Maybe you've fallen away from the church. Perhaps you haven't been in years. You can still trust God. He will receive you back. The doors are wide open. Or perhaps you're just into all the lukewarm stuff that can also separate you from God. Trust your Father. He has a plan for your life. He wants to bring you to great joy and to great happiness. So, up he goes. He says, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go back to my... That's, by the way, that's resurrection. Resurrection just doesn't occur when you die. You can be resurrected now in your life. I wrote a book called Rise. And I talk about, yes, there's going to be a great resurrection on the last day, but you can rise in your attitude. You can rise in your mind, in your emotions, and even in your body. There can be a resurrection now. So this is conversion. The young man got up and he went back to his father. Notice, here he is on the road heading back to his father. He says, you know, I believe that my father has a plan for me, and I believe that I can trust him, and he's not going to betray me. And notice what he's doing. He says, I got to go to confession. I got to confess. First thing, how am I going to do it? I got to confess to my father that I've sinned. So what he's doing is he's rehearsing his confession on the road going back to the father. When I was a young man, and it's interesting, I grew up Catholic, and they used to parade us in, you know, the whole class parade us in into the confessional. We'd all stand there up against the wall, and you're about to go before the priest, and what do? You rehearse your confession. And I would say, you know, Father, I've sinned, and I would think about one or two or three main sins that I've done, and I go in there. You know, the trick when you go into the confessional is you don't want to confess too many sins because then he might yell at you. You don't want to just have one sin because then he'll say, didn't you examine your conscience? And if you got a big one, you got to try to slip it in right in the middle. So I'd rehearse my confession. And then I go in the confessional. You know, I have a great memory, but it's interesting. For some reason, when I would go in that confessional, I confess my sins, I was so afraid that I would forget my act of contrition. You know, the act of contrition, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you. There's this whole prayer. And I think a lot of people that come into the confessional are the same way. They rehearse their confession, then they're afraid to go to confession because they're afraid they're going to forget the act of contrition, then the priest will think badly about them. I've had people come in the confessional, they come in there, their hands are freezing cold, you know, because they're nervous. One woman, you know, I knew she was afraid because she came in there, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. She started off, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we're about to receive. She started praying table grace. So I understand that people are afraid. Well, don't let that stop you from coming to confession. Just simply come just as you are. Confess your sins. And if you don't know an act of contrition, you know what an act of contrition is? Contrition means sorrow. Just simply say, I'm sorry, and I'm going to try to do better. That qualifies as an act of contrition. Father, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to do better. That's what the young man was trying to do here. He's coming back to his father, and notice the father didn't even wait for him to confess his sins. As soon as he saw his son, and by the way, notice the father was waiting for his son. What is God doing in your life right now? He's waiting. He's watching. He's waiting for you to return. He's waiting for you to come back with all of your heart. You ever hear that song by Hosea? Long have I waited for your coming home to me. And for some of you, long has God waited. You see, he waits in hope, in expectation. God's mercy is proactive. He takes the initiative to reach out. He waits because he believes that you will come. He never gives up on us. So when you're walking toward God, God is running toward you. And that's exactly what happened. I really tried to stress the whole celebrative accent of this story. The father runs to the son. He embraces him, hugs him. Something significant happened. Kills the fatted calf. It's a great celebration. And that's exactly what we're having in our church. A jubilee year. Jubilee means joy. A jubilee year of mercy. God is the Father of mercies. And I want to stress that it's people that are lukewarm, people that have fallen away, people that mount up every day, sin after sin. But it's also the notorious, especially wicked people who have fallen away, committed all these crimes, all these different acts. It's important to know that you are not outside the sphere of grace. God waits for you. Anyone and everyone watching this program right now, Jesus reached out to prostitutes, tax collectors, the broken, notorious sinners. He reached out to the marginalized, the worst of the worst. This program is for you. Most of you are churchgoers, but some of you are just flipping into this program. God's mercy is for you. He's calling you. I want this to be a moment of movement for you. I want this to be a moment of grace. Sister Faustina, who was now canonized the saint, said, Jesus said to her that my mercy is greater than your sin and the sins of the whole world. Oh, you know, God has created billions and billions of stars, billions of galaxies, and he shows his power in creation. But you know where God's magnificence is greatly, even more greatly shown than that? In his mercy. Anything and everything that you've ever done wrong. One time a visionary was called before a bishop, and the bishop said to the visionary, I hear that you're having visions from Jesus. Is that true? And she said, yes, it is, Bishop. He says, well, I have to check out the authenticity of these visions. What I want you to do is the next time Jesus appears to you, I want you to ask him when the last time I went to confession was and what I confessed. And she said, okay, Bishop. And she goes away. A week later, she comes back, and the bishop says, well, did Jesus appear to you? And she said, well, yes, Bishop, he did. Did you ask the questions? Yes, I did, Bishop. What did he say? And she said, well, Bishop, he said, first of all, that the last time you went to confession was 3 weeks ago, and it was at the Benedictine Monastery. And the bishop was amazed, and he said, that's right. He said, what did I confess? And the visionary said, Jesus wanted me to tell you that your sins are forgiven and forgotten. And that's the mercy of God. That when you come just as you are, your sins are forgiven and forgotten. And that's why we celebrate a great jubilee year in our Catholic Church. God is the Father of mercies. His mercies are new every day, and he is rich in mercy. Come to God just as you are. It'll be a significant moment, like that man who approached me at the meeting. Your life will change, and I pray that this program will be a catalyst to jolt you forward and to move you into God's loving arms. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live with passion.